All right, we're examining the core beliefs of our faith this morning, and we've begun this series, We Believe, using the Apostles' Creed as our framework. And thanks to the family who come, and I know some of you had to come aways or belong other places, and we're glad to see you here. We said last Sunday that a creed is a concise statement of belief and a confession of faith, and so... We're not going to hurry through the creed. If you're wondering how fast we're going to get through this, it's going to take us a while. There's too much to say. But we declared last week, the beginning, we believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. And we say it kind of effortlessly and matter of fact, but perhaps somehow in that the awe and the wonder that it should invoke within us is missing somehow. We're declaring, and we sang it this morning, we testify that we believe in God the Father Almighty, the Maker, the Creator, the Designer, the Originator, the One who brought forth all that is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and He created it all out of nothing. And when we stop to think about that, we may realize perhaps our God, the God we think about when we think of God, the God we pray to with our worries and fears, the God we place our trust in for salvation, the God we believe to handle our future, it may be that in comparison to who He really is, we've made our God too small. That oddly enough, we tend to make ourselves larger and greater than we really are, and we make our problems and the things we worry about and the things we fear, we make those things larger and greater than they are, and then we tend to make God smaller and less significant than He really is. And the creed helps us to remember how vast and how great and how awesome is our God. We believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. That's what we said, but what do we really think about when we think about God? Teachers and educators may remember a Swiss fellow named Jean Piaget, who sat around, watched his kids playing, and created a concept of the cognitive development of children. He formulated a theory, and he used a term schema, S-C-H-E-M-A, schema or schemata, to refer to what the simplest way I know to explain is essentially a category of information. And I think of it like a file folder that children use to categorize information as they grow. For instance, maybe there's a file that for a toddler is called, Mama and Daddy or whatever, and every grown-up for Lucas, when he grows, every guy with a beard, for a while he may say Dada, and Brian's going to be saying, no, that's not your Dada, I'm your Dada, but he's got one file that says guys about that tall with a beard must be Dada. And so the file has to expand. It grows. There's a point to all this. So he's got a file, horsey, and everything with four legs and fur that's bigger than him is a horsey. And we say, no, honey, that's not a horse. That's a cow. That's a cow. That's a goat. That's not a horsey. That's a sheep. But we're trying to explain because the file starts this way, and then it expands as they grow and develop. They learn to differentiate information and move from general to specific. It's part of their cognitive development. But we teach our children about God, and a file is created. And we tell them God is big and God is good and God is love and God is watching over you. And the child stores information and facts about God. It's part of this process of faith development and understanding who God is. They have immediate access to the file. We all do. So when I mention God, we immediately access all the ideas in that file, everything we've placed in there. And there's a couple of concerns about it. One is we want to make sure that the information that we're gathering or that we're dispensing about God is the truth, that it comes from a reliable source. And we talked a few weeks ago about boundary stones. The reliable source for truth about God comes from the Word of God and from the Holy Spirit and from the teachings of the church. So we want to make sure we have reliable sources. But we also want to make sure that the information we gather in that file about God continues to grow and expand along with the other files in our mind. And the concern is that we expand all the files on every other topic and experience, but that the file for God remains untouched. So the file that used to read horsey, it would be a little odd if a college, kid said, hey, did you see the horsey out there in the field? That seems odd. Or if he pointed at a cow and said, horsey, we would think maybe something seemed a little odd. So as that child grows, it grows so he understands multiple breeds of horses and equine science or whatever, and he's differentiated. He's come up with all these other things. Oh, that's a goat, and that's a sheep, and that's a dog, and that's a cat. But the file for God stays untouched and undeveloped. So we go off to college, and we start into a career, and we learn all kinds of things and have all kinds of experiences. We learn things true and not so true, and the file continues to grow and to be refined. But unless we maintain a vibrant relationship with God through prayer and reflection and study of His Word and through worship and fellowship with others and being a part of the church, the body of Christ, that file associated with God and spiritual things remains like it was when we were a child. And it'll, when we look at it then, we don't look back, as I said, as grown up, we don't say, is that a horsey out there in the field? We know it's a cow, we know it's a horse. But sometimes because we've just left that file about God in our mind, stay where it is, we just kind of dismiss everything about God. The result is a stunted view. We think about God the way we did when we were a child, and then as an adult we look at it and it seems childish and naive. So our view of God is hardly accurate. It's stunted and small, and we dismiss God along with belief in Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. We think somehow we've outgrown God because our view of God, our file of God, is too small. And we've not recognized Him as Father Almighty and the Maker of heaven and earth. We need to think, we can think nostalgically about God. Some people do that. They've got God and church and grandma and how we used to go to church with her on Sundays, and then we went home and had roast and potatoes and carrots, and nostalgically we think about God. And there are even people that kind of think, boy, it's sad that I grew up and that I don't believe in God anymore. I wish I could, because I'd love to have that faith, but you see, I learned too much, and God's too small for me. And what a tragic mistake that we left Him with the category of horsey and puppy and God, and we didn't realize that He was God the Father Almighty and the Maker of heaven and earth. We need to discover the God of creation, the God of the Bible. And I know Jesus said we're to be as little children. In that, He means we're to be childlike in our trust in God and childlike in innocence and childlike in our dependence upon the Lord, but we're not to be childish in our behavior or in our thinking. The Apostle Paul said, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. And now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. And now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. We thought and learned and reasoned as a child, but as we grew, we learned and reasoned with greater maturity, with greater understanding, and based on greater experience. And I ask you this morning, have you made room for a greater revelation of God and who He is as you've grown? And I'm not suggesting that you forget what you learned as a child about God, unless you learned stuff that was contrary to the Bible. But simply that we open our minds to discover God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth. Because that God, the God of the Bible, is awesome and fearful in a sense. And we should be full of wonder as we consider the might of our God. And that God, the God of the Bible and the God of creation, desires to reveal Himself and make Himself known to all of us. And if you don't believe me, just look around. The Apostle Paul in the book of Romans says that you can see God in creation, that He reveals His nature to us. He wrote, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." Paul says, you can't miss it. Just go outside and look around and give thought to what has happened in this world and what God has created, and you'll understand even from what has been made that there is a God and that He is awesome in might and power. All of God's creation testifies of Him being the Father Almighty, the Creator and the Maker of heaven and earth. Someone said that perhaps the four most profound English words ever written were these: in the beginning, God. It's really just two Hebrew words, but four English words. It all starts right there. This is the way the Bible begins this amazing story. The first chapter of the first book, the first verse. In the beginning, God. From the beginning, from before there was anything, God. All sufficient, not dependent upon anything or anyone, eternally existent, infinite God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I don't know how. Somebody said if God began, if He gave us the how, that it would, well, number one, we couldn't comprehend it, but just the vast intricacies of the creation would, I mean, who could understand it? You know, I read books about creation and what it takes, and I can't even understand the dumbed down version of what it takes to sustain life on the planet. I don't know how He did it. 6 days, Genesis tells us. He did it in 6 days. Were those literal days, 24-hour periods? I don't know. Was there a big bang that happened at some point? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us the details of how so much as it tells us who. That there was a beginning. We just know there was a beginning. And in the beginning, and there was nothing but God. Even Stephen Hawking has finally decided there was a beginning somewhere. If there was a beginning, there was one that began it. And there was a beginning. There was nothing but God, and then by God's infinite power, God said, "Let there be," and there was. The psalmist declared, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, for He spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm." I don't know how that happened. I don't know how He did it, other than that simple example, that simple word, He spoke and it came to be. Let there be light and there was light. Let there be, and God caused it to happen. The Apostle Paul said all things were created by Him and for Him. Revelation 4, the Revelator sees this view in heaven and tells of the worship in heaven, and the 24 elders are worshiping God, declaring, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they were created and have their being." This is God the Creator who reveals Himself to us. He is the God who speaks and it happens. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But what about evolution? And what about the age of the universe? And what about the scientists tell us it's billions of years? What about this? Here's what I know. More than intelligent design, more than a divine mind or a first cause, there is a God, personal God, who loves us and who desires to be in relationship with us. And that God created the heavens and the earth, and He reveals Himself to us as Father Almighty. How, I don't know. When, I don't know. There are questions to be answered. And there are brilliant scientists and scholars that have got theories and ideas and even some answers to deal with some of those problems. But you know what? There are some physicists and scientists out there, brilliant, who have written all this stuff, who understand things, but they have no hesitation in reciting the Apostles' Creed and in declaring alongside their science, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth." And I say it, and I especially want to say it in second service when there are teenagers and more college students here, but there are so many resources out there. Don't let anybody tell you that to believe in God as Creator is foolish or naive or somehow that science and the creation and the Bible have to be at odds with one another. It's simply not the truth. If you've got questions and doubts, do the research. And there's Nobel-winning people that would tell you about their faith in God. God the Father Almighty is the Creator. He created all that is. And He did so with order and design, with destiny and purpose, with intricacies beyond our ability to comprehend. And I went back to look at a couple of books talking about what was required for sustainability of life on this planet, for this to be the one planet. They keep, you know, looking for signs of life on other planets within our solar system, within our galaxy, but if things are, I couldn't even, as I read and studied, I couldn't even figure out, I don't know what it said. I read. That's what I'm telling you. Would you care if it was 10 to the 230th power in terms of dark mass or negative gravity or whatever that would cause the world to blow up and we'd fly off into space or whatever? I didn't figure you cared, and I couldn't figure out how to explain it because I couldn't understand it to begin with. What I know is this: for life to be sustainable on this planet requires such minute fine-tuning that it's impossible, in my opinion, for anybody to think it could have happened randomly. That it requires more faith or naivete or whatever you want to call it to believe that somehow it happened randomly or by accident than it does to believe in God the Creator. And the Christian faith says that God created all of this out of nothing, an idea that was unique in the universe to the Jewish people and to the Jewish faith. Eastern religions had ideas of gods that were created themselves, or that gods that created out of existing matter, or they formed or fashioned something out of something that was already there. But the God of Israel created all that is out of nothing. In other words, God created the matter from which He created all that is. He existed before there was anything and created all that is. He is God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth. Now, I suggested at the beginning that perhaps we have thought of God in terms that were too small. And remember, I said that what we believe, this is what I've been saying for weeks, what we believe affects how we live our life. And the choices that we make, what we believe determines much of that. And so, we're small, but when we make God smaller, we make our faith small, and we make our life and our choices small, and we make our prayers and our worship small. But when we consider God the Creator and His creation that surrounds us, when we consider the stars above us and the beauty of the earth, surely it moves us to awe and wonder and worship of our God, and it moves us and inspires us to greater faith in the God who is more and more and so much more than anything of which we can conceive. Hear the words of the psalmist this morning. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. The psalmist is saying that the testimony of the heavens, it's like a language without words, but their words, their speech, their language reaches to every part of the globe in a language beyond words, night and day, constantly and forever, that everyone, everywhere can witness and behold evidence and knowledge of God and His beauty and His glory and His mighty power. He is God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth. And all you have to do is look around to understand that. Through the prophet Isaiah, the Lord declared, "To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal?" says the Holy One. "Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of His great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing." Think of that. The starry host. He brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Billions. Billions of stars. He calls them each by name. He's named them all. He knows them. Because of His great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Well, I read that, studied that this week. Again this morning, reading that and read that first line, the statement that God makes, the prophet is telling us to lift up our eyes and look to the heavens, and he asks the question, who created all these? But it's God who says to us, to whom will you compare me? Or who's my equal? And I got to tell you, I got a stack of things that I worry about and consider, and mountains that we have and challenges to our life about the size of this sanctuary some days, and I look at it and think, boy, it's just covering me up. And I read that this morning and thought it again. To whom will you compare me? God looks down on me and my, measly little problems. As Humphrey Bogart said, problems of a few people. Well, anyway, that was something from Casablanca that suddenly left my mind. But to whom will you compare me? Who's my equal? Your problems can't stack up to the God who is the Almighty, the Father, the Creator of heaven and earth. Who can we compare Him to? Set your problems next to the Father Almighty. Who or what is His equal? Once again from the Psalms, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of His mouth. We mustn't make Him small. He's the God who creates the stars and the planets by the breath of His mouth. He's the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. What are your problems compared to the God who just, and planets are born, and the sky is filled with stars? What are your problems this morning? What's that thing that you're dealing with? How does it compare to the God who breathes out the stars and they're created? It's more than we can imagine. Some of you have seen and heard Louis Giglio speak, or you've seen some of his videos. I've shown a couple of clips over the years. It's about 7.5 minutes long. I want you to see this little clip where he talks about the planets, and then we'll wrap this up.
That's awesome. Yeah. But we are here tonight to worship. This is an amazing thought. A God who is indescribable. You say, well, how do you know that? All you have to do is walk outside on a dark night and look up into the sky, and you will know when you look up that this God we're worshiping tonight is beyond our wildest dream. The scripture says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, the starry host by the breath of His mouth. We live in a little subdivision in the universe called the Milky Way Galaxy. In case you didn't know, that's where you live. Some of you are thinking you live in Shady Grove. No, you're living in the Milky Way Galaxy. That's your subdivision in the universe, a very big universe that we have to use something called a light year to get around in. You say, well, what's a light year? Well, that's how fast light travels in 1 year. And we know it's flying 186,000 miles a second. So if light goes 186,000 miles a second for a whole year, it goes 5.88 trillion miles in a year. And that's the measurement, or one of the main measurements we use to get around in the universe that God has created. That's how big it is. The foot, not going to help you in God's universe. The yard, of no value to you whatsoever in God's universe. The mile, insignificant. The kilometer, Matt, not going to help you getting around in God's universe. We have to use a ruler that is 5.88 trillion miles long to measure things in God's universe. And our home subdivision, the Milky Way Galaxy, just came into being. It consists of billions of stars. Just our subdivision, the Milky Way Galaxy. Not hundreds, not millions, not hundreds of millions. Billions of stars in our home subdivision, the Milky Way Galaxy. And scientists say that there are hundreds of billions of other subdivisions and galaxies in the known universe. This shot is where we live. It's a little snapshot of the Milky Way Galaxy. If you zoom into this star-forming region, see something pretty amazing. This particular shot is a close-up of a star-forming region in our subdivision, taken by a friend of ours named Dr. David Block, who's an astronomer down at Wits University in Johannesburg, South Africa. And we were down there a few months ago, and he was telling us that if we were to count the billions of stars in the Milky Way Galaxy, one star per second. So if we just started with any one of these, I don't know which one you want to pick. Let's just start with this one right here, and because I can reach it. And we start 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That looks like 1, but I'm close enough to see it's 2 that are close together. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Let's go back over here. 12. You're like, oh, please don't count them all. If we counted all the stars in our subdivision, one per second, it would take 2,500 years just to count the stars in the Milky Way Galaxy. And God says about Himself, you want to know how the universe is telling us that God is big? Through the prophet Isaiah, He says, to whom will you compare Me? And who is My equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes to the heavens. Who created all of these? And then He answers for Himself. The one who leads forth the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of His mighty strength and great power, not one of them is missing. If you want to get a glimpse of it, here's a composite shot of our subdivision. The Milky Way Galaxy is taken by combining hundreds of thousands of photographs. Obviously, we haven't managed to get outside of the Milky Way galaxy to take a picture of it, but NASA folks are pretty sure that's what it looks like. It has a barred nucleus. It's a barred spiral galaxy. And you're like, wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah, it's 100,000 light years across. So if you want to go visit your neighbors on the other side of the subdivision, you just have to go 186,000 miles a second for 100,000 years, and boom, you're at their house. In our little neighborhood home called the Milky Way Galaxy, you say, well, where are we? I'm looking for us on there. You know, we got to be right in the center, obviously. I'm sure we're right there in that middle. No, we believe it or not, we're not even in the center of our own subdivision, okay? So affirming again tonight, it's not about you and it's not about me. We don't even live in the center of our own subdivision. And you don't want to live in the center of the subdivision because it's scary in the center of the subdivision. You say, well, where do we live? Well, we live way out between a couple of the spiral arms. You don't want to live in there either because that's dangerous territory inside the bands. We live in that little clear zone between a couple of the bands, about two-thirds of the way out. We're living somewhere about there. And you're like, well, I don't see me. No. Because we couldn't put a mark on the diagram that you could see that would be the right relative size to our solar system. You know, that's our little cul-de-sac in the subdivision, that we couldn't even put our solar system on here in relative size to the Milky Way galaxy for you to see. It's that small inside the Milky Way galaxy. Scientists say our solar system is the size of a quarter, and the Milky Way galaxy is the size of the North American continent. So our whole solar system is a quarter, and the size of an area as big as the North American continent. We're not that consequential in our own subdivision called the Milky Way galaxy. And somewhere in there is a star, one of these billions of stars. It's not the biggest, the baddest, the brightest. It's just one of the stars, of the billions of stars. We call it the sun, and around it tonight are orbiting these balls, one of which is called Earth. It's our home. That's you and me. No, I'm not trying to make you feel small. I'm trying to help you see that you are small. But it's significant in significance. Because as tiny as we are known and prized by Majesty, who sent for us and loves us and knows us, even though we are teeny tiny little bitty people on a little bitty speck floating through the vast cosmos that He has made. Just like He could name every star as He called them into being and put them in their places, He could start in this building tonight all the way up in the top with you right there, and He could call you by your name, and He could move to you and call you by your name and you by your name, and the great Creator of all the heavens and the earth could move through this auditorium and call every single person in this building by name tonight. He knows us and is aware of us and loves us and has come to invite us into a relationship with Him that will never ever end.
That's how great our God is. We believe in God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven. This God we serve, this Almighty, all-sufficient, all-powerful God is the God who knows us. And if He knows the starry host by name, He creates them one by one and He calls them each by name. And not one of them is missing. Out of the billions and billions of stars that Louis Giglio just described to us this morning, then I can say with assurance, He knows you by name. He knows you and He knows your kids and your grandkids. He knows your friends. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows where you are. Notice that one verse said that none of them are missing. You're not lost to Him. He hasn't misplaced you. It may feel that way sometimes. Like, does God even remember where I am? Maybe I didn't leave my forwarding address and He's lost me. You're not missing to Him. The psalmist declared, He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limits. We'll never be able to comprehend it all. He is awesome and great, mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. His ways are far beyond us and our ways. He's beyond what we can conceive. Yet in the verse just before this, the Bible declares, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. As great and as awesome and majestic and powerful and mighty and big as He is, and He's beyond us, and yet He is near to the brokenhearted and gentle and loving enough that He can bind up our wounds. Father and Almighty, Creator and Sustainer. That's our God. And I say to you this morning, don't make Him small. Don't make Him small in your world and in your life and in your prayer time and in your worship. Don't make Him small. We read this morning from the Psalm, ascribe to the Lord the glory and the greatness, do His name. Don't make Him small. Make Him large. Expand the file this morning from horsey, right, to equine science. Expand that file in your mind of the God who loved me and saved me. Expand Him to the God who spoke the world into existence and He still has the might and power to change you and your circumstances and your world and whatever it is you're facing or dealing with this morning. Don't make Him small. Declare His greatness. We believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and we can trust in Him. For He doesn't just call the stars by name, He calls us by name. He knows you and He's here to bind up your wounds and to heal your broken heart. He's bigger and greater and beyond whatever worries or frightens you today. Be encouraged, for your Father Almighty is the Maker of heaven and earth, and He's here to make the difference for each one of us. Let's bow our hearts in prayer this morning. Lord Jesus, we bring our needs to You today. And we recognize You, Lord, that You are the one that determines the number of the stars and You call them each by name. You've breathed out and spoken them into existence. And as mighty and as powerful, as limitless as You are, as beyond our ability to understand, You also reveal Yourself as the one who heals the brokenhearted and binds up our wounds. Lord, that it's not just that You span the universe, but You come alongside us to change us and to heal us and to mend our broken hearts. And Lord, there are no doubt some sitting in this place that their hearts are broken today. They've been wounded and their life, it seems like it's lost to You somehow. They're trying to figure out how to make sense of it all. Lord, I pray that this morning they would make You greater in their life. To whom can we compare our God? What can we compare You to? Lord, You are greater than all of our needs and greater than all of our fears, Lord. And so I pray that by Your grace we would choose today to make You who You really are. That we would begin to see You and understand You as Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth. And in the vastness of all that, Lord, we would come to understand all things are possible. Nothing is impossible with God. All things are possible. Whatever You've made large in your life, whatever fear, whatever worry, whatever you're facing, would You just, in Your mind, compare that to the God who spoke the worlds into existence? Don't you think He can handle it today? The Bible says we can cast all of our cares upon Him because He cares for us. Don't you think He can handle what you're worried about today? Cast it on Him. Cast your cares upon Him. Turn it over to Him this morning. Trust Him. This mighty God. Give it to Him today. Lord, we put it in Your hands. Those things that frighten and worry us. Maker of heaven and earth, come remake us. Come remake us, Lord. Heal us. Deliver us from our sin. Take the brokenness of our lives and heal it, Lord. Put the pieces back together of us, of our relationships that have been broken and ruined, of marriages broken and struggling. Come put the pieces back together for us today, Lord. Bind up our wounds and heal our broken hearts. We call upon the one whose understanding, whose wisdom and knowledge and power has no limit. God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, come do that in us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.